Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. That would be the start of 5. So hear the word of our Lord. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. And then our New Testament lesson from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 46b through 55. Well, we'll go all of 46. Let us hear the gospel message. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of his hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the word you bring to us. We ask that it would light our path and guide our hearts today and tomorrow and every day to come. Guide us and lead us, O Lord, so that we might live and serve as you have called us. Help us to prepare for the coming of our Lord, for the coming of Christ, both living in the short term as Christmas is on its way, but living in the long term as we await the day that he will come again. Be with us, O Lord, and help us to live and serve as you have commanded. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we finally lit the fourth candle of Advent. Love, hope, peace, or shalom, and joy all have played their part, and now our eyes turn to the candle that represents love. Now, the hard part for us is that in Scripture and in the world, there are so many different types of love. The downside is in English, we've got one word for it. In the Old Testament, love is ahab. And there are various forms and formats of it, and it's very similar to English in its usage. But in the Greek, in Scripture, there's only one word for love, and that's agape. It's this amazing thing that a word is so specific that it is used here. The word agape only describes the relationship between God and humanity, that love, that self-giving love that really nails down in two moments. Well, three if you want to be persnickety. The first is Christmas. The second and third are the cross and the resurrection. Those are the moments that really speak of God's love. It's a word, though, love, that we overuse. We love that restaurant, or we love that type of food. You know, you ask a young person to describe their Christmas present. Sometimes you ask an older person, and they'll tell you that they love it. But is that really love? Do you really love your present? I've even heard love being used to describe hugs at the end of a visit. You know, I've had family members who tell a young child, "Oh, go get lovin's." Really, this is when we're only giving love? Societally, we've commercialized love in Valentine's Day. I'm sorry, I will say it now, and I will never apologize for it. It's a complex thing that young people go through trying to understand what is and is not love. Even as adults, some of us struggle with that idea. But this candle is specifically related to God's love for us and our attempt at a responsive love towards God. It's a special love. It's not brotherly love like philia, or a reciprocal love like xenia, or storge, which is a great word, but not really. It's a parental love in that case. This is agape. It is related to us, God, and our togetherness. It's almost as if they created a slang word that entered the major lexicon with agape. You know, how often do you have a specific word that you hear in slang that you're like, actually, that works better than any other definition? Somebody loses their mind? No, somebody crashes out. And if you didn't know that was a phrase, it's a new phrase, start using it. Because young people will stop using it, and they'll stop using it, and we'll win, right? That's how you eliminate slang, you older people. We older people start using it. Agape is a faithful word. You can't use it outside of that special relationship with God. It defines our relationship with God. To try and define it as something outside of what it is, you can't. You have to have an understanding of God, who God is, to understand what agape is. It's kind of like if I say the word banquette. If you're from the Midwest, you know what I'm talking about. It's this lovely almond paste dessert that's in the middle with cinnamon and sugar. But if you're not from the Midwest, you have no idea what it's about. Maybe if you're from Iowa, you know them as Dutch letters. But outside of agape, where do you experience God's love? That is God's love. Agape is something we experience. It's not something you talk about in theory. You know, I always talk about there's this issue with where life and theology meet that we don't always talk about the realities of. This is something that we live out, that we feel. How can you experience God's love? That's how do you describe it? Can you describe it fully? It's something that you experience every day. You should experience every day. Let me say that. It's not just lighting a candle. It's living out every day. Loving, a loving, caring, compassionate relationship between us and God. Us and the God created us, and us and our brothers and sisters around us. You see, that's where things get a little muddier. The whole God so loved the world part. We get that. We love that. But when we are called to come out of our shells and love one another, or even sometimes love ourselves, that's where things get hard. It's hard to talk about God's love because in a lot of ways, when we look at those three main moments in our faith of God's love, how do we match that love? How do we match a love that gave to us a son who would free us from our sins, to free us of the bonds of death and sin? How do we match that love? But in that, we approach things from the wrong direction. We can't match that love. It's not a matching gift. Guess what? You can't match God's love for you. You can't. How do you match love that loves this world in all of its brokenness and impossibilities? How do you love that much? You can't. So what do? Do you give up, throw up your hands and say, I can't love as much as God, I'm good, I'm out? No. You love God as best you are able, as much as you are able, and then let me be a coach for a minute, and then you give a little bit more. You love as much as you can. You love God as much as you are able, and then you go a little more. I used to always hate that. You get to the point where you are done. You can't go any further. You're exhausted. And then the coach blows the whistle and says, get on the line, we're going again. But that's what we should do with our love for God. How else are we to show God our love than to live it out? Live it out a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. How do we live into the greatest gift that has ever been given? How do we match that? We try. We try and live out that love. But also, love for one another. Scripture talks a lot about love. Love is described as patient, kind in 1 Corinthians. We talk about God's love in John 3:16. Even in Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But this moment is all about God's love for us. This moment, when this young woman, who is obviously very pregnant, and having only understood this from the male end, very uncomfortable and cranky, probably. Just speculating. And she goes all this way. But also, she's a very young mother, hasn't been a mother before, and all of a sudden, she's told by an angel that she's going to have this baby. And what does she do? We read what she does. She sings a song. I don't know about you, but in our house, one of us, I won't tell you who, when they are very happy and excited, they make up songs and just sing them. I didn't think that was a thing until, well, a little 8-year-old taught me that. But the reality is, Mary sings a song of love and joy for what God is doing. That's how she is showing her love for God. In response, we see a song of God's love and our love for God playing out in this moment. It's Mary's way to express her love for God and to express God's love for her. in this very trying moment of her life. Now, I'm not saying we should all go home and write out our own songs. If you want to, great. I'd love to hear it. Or more specifically, Barb would love to hear it. Not this Barb. You'll listen to it? Okay, good. Bring it to a Barbara. But the difficulty is accepting our love as imperfect. Accepting that while God's love is everything it could be, we will not love as best we can. We will not love ourselves, love one another as we could, and probably should. But we can try and be better. We can try and love more and more and more and more. It's all about us trying to engage and live out and experience agape with one another, with our God, and with ourselves. That's the challenge. Agape is more of a gauntlet thrown down to us. It's God saying, I love you this much. And it's us saying, well, we'll love you this much. No. It's us trying to love God more and more and more and more. So when we think we're done or have loved God as best we can, remember the coach blowing the whistle, telling us to get on the line and run a little bit more. Maybe it's just one more lap. Maybe it's a few more laps. But it's accepting that what we give to God, what we give to each other, could be so much more and better. But we got to work at it. So brothers and sisters, may we love God, may we love ourselves, and may we love one another a little bit more and a little bit better every day, especially during this season, when it is so easy, no? In the traffic, it's not easy to love one another. Let us love one another a little bit more and a little bit better every day. Amen. Brothers and